Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message. Today, I want to turn your attention to Matthew 5, verse 6. Won't you get your Bibles and join me in reading this? It says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Yeah, so we're in a series called Stressed But Blessed. And the main idea is that no matter what season we're in, that we are blessed no matter what. In this series, we're studying the Beatitudes. And when we follow all of the Beatitudes, we are following a kingdom-framed mindset. We are living in a kingdom-framed mindset. But what does that mean? Man, it means that our perspective is beyond what is happening here on earth. And we're not moved by the things that are happening. See, in this day of chaos and misinformation and confusion, you know, it's easy for us to get all caught up. And it's easy for us to forget who we are. See, the Beatitudes remind us that we are not to let the things of this world dictate how we operate and who we are. The Beatitudes are not supposed to be 8 separate characteristics of Christians or anything. We're supposed to look at them as a holistic approach to how we live. There are 8 qualities that every Christian should display in their lives as they move throughout their lives with Christ. We started with the first beatitude, which is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then we went in week 2, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And then the third week was, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." And verse 6 is where we're going to land today. We're going to focus on that beatitude today. And it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." See, hunger and thirst are the constant cries of our bodies and our human drive. We're always looking for satisfaction. See, if you're taking notes, I'd love for you to record this. See, the first thing that the verse gave me a revelation of was that God will always fill us up when we're hungry. See, if any of you guys are like me, I'm always hungry. I love eating. I love good food. And you know what? I'm not ashamed to say that. Like, I just love to eat. And, you know, it's Mother's Day. And if I could name a person who is always trying to feed me, always trying to fill me up, it's Mom. Yo, Mom is always trying to feed me. It doesn't matter what I'm doing, where I am, what's going on. Mom is always trying to feed me. And you know what? I love her for that. Moms, good moms. Good moms don't let their kids go hungry. As a matter of fact, I know of a lot of moms and even myself that will go without a meal to make sure that their kids will eat. See, moms are always trying to fill us up. And see, you know, my mom is like a mom though. Like, she literally tries to feed me. Like, she'll shove a spoon and a fork in my mouth when she knows something is good. And see, my mom is also a special kind of mom because she's a Haitian mama. And shout out to all the Haitian moms out there. We love you. And see, if you know anything about a Haitian mama, is they love to cook. And my mom is no exception to that. But Haitian cooking is not like your regular kind of cooking. Haitian cooking is a process. It takes so long. I mean, I know with my mom, like, it's almost like a 3-day process just to cook one meal. Day 1, you gotta prep everything, you gotta clean all the meat, make sure everything is ready to go, and that just takes a whole day. And then day 2 is about that seasoning. Oh, if you know anything about Haitian food, it's all about the flavor. You gotta let it sit and marinate in that épice. Y'all hear me? That épice is everything. Now, for those of you guys who are not from South Florida or have never heard of this, épice is that fresh seasoning.
herbs and spices from the garden or fresh from the store, and you blend, you put all that together and you blend it in a blender and you keep it in a jar, and you, as you need it and as you do different, make different meals, you use that Ippies and you let your meat and your different vegetables sit in it. But see, a good Haitian cook knows that it ain't gonna have flavor unless it's been sitting there for at least 24 hours. So day two is for that seasoning. And then of course day three, that's the third day. You're literally spending the entire day cooking. I mean, my mom will wake up at the break of dawn and just be cooking all day long. And you know, it takes time. Haitian cooking is slow cooking, and you really gotta have some patience for it to be right. See, that's my mom. My mom loves it. And then, of course, when it's all ready, everybody's eating it, which it always takes 5 seconds. So it took 3 days to make this meal and 5 seconds to eat it. But the fourth day, I didn't even include that. The fourth day is to cook, to wash all those 37 pots it took to even make the meals. I mean, it's like the whole kitchen is a mess. But all in all, Haitian food really requires some patience. And you got to have some type of passion to be able to wait that long and to spend that much time making it. But I love my mom. She gets to the point, so she's been cooking and she's been doing this meal or preparing this meal for the past 3 days. And she finally gets to a point where she starts to get excited because she's seeing that the meal is coming together and the flavors have all coagulated and they're all getting good. And I could see her just getting excited as she takes it and tastes a little bit in her hand, and it's right. It's tasting right. And then, of course, there you go with my mom again. She comes and she grabs a spoon and she shoves it in my mouth so that I can taste. You see, there's nothing that excites her more than knowing that she's about to give her kids the best meal, that she's about to give her kids something good. And she's so excited about that. She's so excited to give us that food because she knows that it's good. She knows that it's ready. She knows, oh snap, that flavor is right. It's about to go down. And she's so excited because she wants to give her kids only the best. You see, oh, I believe that that's how God in heaven feels like that when we're hungry for his righteousness, when we're thirsty for his righteousness. He's like, oh man, all kids, you gotta try this because this is that good stuff. I have prepared the best for you. My righteousness is so good. You gotta get a taste of it. And you know what? As a matter of fact, his word says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Oh man, that's a good place to say amen. You know, but the problem is, a lot of us today are walking around here hangry. We just hungry, hungry, hungry. And we so hungry that we hangry. You ever have that feeling when you so hungry, you just start to get angry at everybody and everything? Everything gets on your nerves. That's how a lot of us believers are walking around here. A lot of people are walking around hangry. And they hangry because the food they keep trying to fill themselves with is empty. It has no seasoning, no flavor. It don't stick to your ribs. It has no nutritional value. See, so many of us are filling ourselves up with the wrong stuff. And you say to me, man, what you talking about? What you talking about? Well, a lot of us are filling ourselves up with complaints. We just complaining about quarantine. Oh, when is this gonna end? And rather than taking the time to really dig into this time and praying and getting closer to God, or maybe starting something new, listening to what God is trying to reveal to us in this time, we just sitting here complaining, wasting away and complaining. Or maybe we're filled up on all the media headlines. Oh my goodness, these headlines are just so confusing. One day it's this. It's a mess. It's a mess. And you know what? Because it's a mess, we start getting filled with the spirit of criticism, aren't we? We just start criticizing everything. We think we know everything. We got to make all kinds of complaints about those who are in charge and authority rather than praying for those in authority so that they can make better decisions. Some of us are so filled with anger. We up in the house, we just angry at everything, angry at what's happening, angry at God, just angry. We're filled up on insecurity and worry. Maybe we've lost our jobs and everything, and we've let that fill us up, that those feelings of insecurity and worry. Or some of us are just straight up filled up with hate. I've been seeing a lot of stuff about that. We're seeing all these people that are doing, you know, even in this time, that are part of hate crimes. Like, really? This is what we're doing? See, all too often, we fill ourselves up so much with the things of this world that we have no room for the things of God. See, we can't allow the things that are happening around us kill our appetite for God's righteousness. It's interesting because one of the symptoms that I've read of COVID-19 is loss of taste. See, we got to be careful that we don't lose our taste for the things of God because we're filling ourselves up with so much junk. We ain't got nothing but time right now. And so a lot of us are wasting away, filling ourselves up with junk. Got to be careful of that. As believers, the word tells us that we are blessed when we are hungry and thirsty for God's righteousness, because we'll always be filled with the right stuff and we'll never lose our appetite. Amen. See, I want to talk about, you know, two types of righteousness in the Bible. The first being self-righteousness. Let's turn to Romans 10:3. And it says, "For they did not know about God's way of making people right with himself. So they attempted to establish their own way. In doing this, they did not submit to God's way for being made right in him." See, in this passage, Apostle Paul is expressing his desire and his prayer that the Israelites would be saved. He admires their passion and their zeal for God, but he knows that their enthusiasm is not driven by the accurate knowledge of God, of what is important to God and what pleases God, and that is faith in Christ. Paul calls them ignorant of the righteousness of God. That is, they don't really understand what God really requires, perfect righteousness, absolute perfect righteousness, which is also known as the law. He requires perfect righteousness in order for anyone to receive by him on their own merits. They don't understand that no human being is able to achieve that level of righteousness. They're ignorant to the fact that God offers righteousness to all who come to him through Christ. So that is, we cannot have righteousness on our own. We can only have righteousness through Jesus. So the Israelites were missing the key to being accepted by God and being saved from his wrath. And so their lack of understanding of how God's righteousness works caused them to set up their own systems and their own standards of what it means to please God. And you know what? When I read that and when I really study that, it starts to sound like, it really does sound like a lot of believers today. It's this picture of self-righteousness that a lot of us has built up. See, we're in a new season of life where masks and wearing masks have become the new norm. Everybody is wearing masks, and the CDC recommends the mask to help slow the spread of this virus. And I'm all for it. I'm all about masks. I wear masks all the time, especially when I'm going out in a public setting, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the thing about masks is that they do disguise. They cover up your full identity. And in some cases, they hide. They're used as a disguise for people to present themselves as something that they're not. I believe that this is a picture of self-righteousness. So many of us are hiding behind our own mask of what we think Christianity should be. We try to appear as though we're all about God and we're operating, but we're really operating in a more self-righteous state. And you know what? That's really a scary place to be. I think it's important for us to really examine ourselves in that, so that we're not confusing that the hunger that the word is trying to tell us that we should thirst and hunger for, or the righteousness that the word is telling us that we should hunger and thirst for. We don't want to get it confused. So it's important that we examine it. So here's a little bit of, maybe you want to ask yourself these questions. you know, am I self-righteous if I am always trying to tell, or I enjoy telling people that they're wrong? Maybe I'm self-righteous if I have a hard time forgiving other people or even asking for forgiveness from others. You might also ask yourself, man, am I overly defensive? Because yeah, self-righteous people are always defensive. They're always trying to defend their goodness and their righteousness. Man, maybe you're self-righteous if you're very critical and judgmental of everything around you. Or maybe you're self-righteous if you present yourself as being humble, but really in your heart, you think that you're better than everybody and you know more than everybody. See, self-righteous people, the problem with that is that they tend to divide people or categorize people into two types of people, the good and the bad. They think, oh, if you're homeless, maybe if you're divorced or if things are happening to you in your life, it's because you deserve it. And you know what? Things are good for me because I deserve that because I'm so great. See, the more we defend how good we are, the more we can become self-righteous. See, self-righteous people can't admit failure or sin. And you know what? God can't, you know, that's a problem for God because they can't accept the forgiveness that God offers them through Jesus Christ. And they think that they don't have a need for that forgiveness. They think that they don't need to be saved. But if we read in Proverbs 29, it tells us, who can say, I have cleansed my own heart? I am pure from my sin. In other words, who can save themselves? You cannot save yourself. And you know what else about self-righteous people? They also tend to try and defend God. Like, because they cannot define God in everything that he does, they try to defend him and create their own story of who God is and what he can and cannot do. Because an undefinable God is too scary for them. So they would rather be self-righteous and come up with their own definition of what he is and what he can do. See, self-righteousness separates us from God and others. To separate or to remove this spirit of self-righteousness from us, we need to let go of defending God, defending ourselves, and defending our own success. You know, as I go through that, I know that might be a little bit off-putting to a lot of people. Like, whoa, I never thought of myself as that. But if we're really honest, maybe we've got a little bit of that. And you know what? As long as we're working through it and we are getting to a better state, then we're in a better place. See, many of us may think, wow, I never knew that or thought that about myself. And it's, you know, it's probably a little off-putting and a little bit surprising to you. And so, you know, the goal is not for you to feel bad or for you to feel like you're guilty of being self-righteous, but really the goal is that we hunger and thirst for the second type of righteousness, and that is the righteousness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin be sin for us so that in him we may become the righteousness of God. Oh, wow. See, Jesus took everything that he deserved and gave it to us and gave us his righteousness so that we could be in right standing with God. That's what it's all about. And man, what a beautiful gift. This is the righteousness that the children of God should hunger and thirst for. See, God wants us to hunger and thirst for him. Something inside of us, in our souls, should always feel like we just want to get closer and closer to God. It should feel like we want a relationship, a deeper relationship with our God in heaven. It should be in our soul. It should cry out to him. Something in there should always be moving for God. See, his word clearly tells us that we will always be satisfied when we hunger and thirst for him. But I love how the Message Bible puts it, Matthew 5:6. It says, you are blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's the food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. Oh man, isn't that so visual? Can't you imagine that? That's what God is like. And so as I read that, I can't help but think of my mom again, who labors in love over these meals that, you know, she knows makes us happy. And she gets so happy because, you know, that's, I mean, her greatest hope is that we're filled and happy with what she's prepared for us. And it's so beautiful. And it's funny because I find myself kind of doing that the same thing as a mother. Like my baby girl would, you know, she loves to eat too. My goodness, that child can eat. And the other day I was making, you know, meatballs and spaghetti and meatballs. And I remember I had one of the finished meatballs and I tasted it and I knew it was good. And so I found myself doing the same thing that my mom would do. And I shoved it in my daughter's mouth. And, you know, after she got over that, she was like, "Ooh, that's good. Can I have another?" Man, she immediately asked for another because she knew it was good. And I was like so happy when she did, because it was like, I knew that it was good and I wanted her to enjoy it, and she did, and she asked for more. Man, the ultimate compliment or joy that you can give somebody about food that they've made is when you ask for more. You ask for seconds. I love it when my baby does that. She'll ask for seconds. She'll even ask for thirds sometimes. And I'm like, "Oh, baby girl, you go on. I know that it's good. You can go on and have that. Get some more." I believe that when we hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God, it's not just you who's blessed, but God too is blessed. He is pleased that we want more of Him. Man, when we hunger and thirst for His righteousness, man, that just makes Him so happy. It's like, "Oh man, God, that was so good. Can I get more of that? You got any more of that? Yo, I want some seconds. I want thirds. I want some more of that." And I feel like, you know, God is like, "Oh yeah, you come and get that goodness that I have for you. You can have your fill of it. And you know what? There is more where that came from. Man, have your fill, my child. Just have as much of it as you want. And you know what, my child? The best part of this is that it never runs out. You can keep coming back for more and more as long as you're hungry and thirsty. I got more of this for you. I got a refill for you." How many of y'all out there want a refill of God's righteousness? Come on. You know what God's reply to you is? It's in Isaiah 55:1, and I'm going to read from the Message version because, oh man, this is good. It says, "Hey there, all who are thirsty, come to the water. Are you penniless? Come anyways. Buy and eat. Come buy your drinks, buy wine, buy milk, buy without money. Everything is free. Why do you spend your money on junk food, your hard-earned cash on cotton candy? Listen to me. Listen well. Eat only the best. Fill yourself up with only the finest." Man, that is God's word to you. You know what's better than a refill? A free refill. And that's what God is offering us in His righteousness. See, Jesus emptied all of us out of our junk so He can refill us with His unending righteousness. That's some good news, and that's a good place to say amen, right? And the best part is, it costs you nothing. John 6:35 tells us, "Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.'" Amen, amen. Aren't you so glad that we serve a God that wants to fill us up and feed us with His righteousness, His His goodness that never runs out and it doesn't cost us a thing. Man, He wants to fill us up and continue to refill us. Man, you never have to worry if you can get a refill, because God is always trying to fill us up. Amen? Man, maybe you are, you know, void and empty. Maybe you've been feeling a lot like that, especially in these times. You've been looking for something to satisfy your soul, but you've come up empty. I'm here to tell you that there is a God in heaven who wants to fill you up with His goodness. And it's free, no cost, free 99 to you. You don't have to do anything but accept Him in order for you to get it. Why don't you bow your head wherever you are right now? Some of you need to come home and get that good meal. Jesus Christ is the bread of life, and he never runs out. And the living water never runs dry. He wants to fill you up. The Bible says that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So we're going to put that into practice right now. We're going to declare our faith together. So I want you to say this with me. You close your eyes. Maybe you want to reach towards the screen wherever you're watching. I want you to go ahead and say this. Dear Jesus, I have sinned. I'm not proud of it. Take away my sin. I don't want it anymore. I reach to heaven to accept your forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? That's it. The table is open. The food is yours for the taking. Come on, man. Here at Cool Church, we celebrate when somebody comes home to get that good meal, man. And right now, we're going to all just celebrate with you from wherever we are. Maybe you're at home. You want to start tapping those hearts, or, you know, putting in the comments. Join us in the comments. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate all of those who came home today. I believe that there were so many people that prayed that prayer with me and that meant it in their heart. And if that is you, I want you to go ahead and text Cool Fam to the number that you see here on the screen, because we want to pray with you. We want to equip you on this walk and kind of explain what just happened. We want to make sure that you are fully ready and fully in complete understanding that you have said yes to God and yes to a life of faith and what that really means. And so go ahead and text Cool Fam to that number, and we'll reach out to you, fill out the form, you'll get some information. And you know what? We're not trying to bother you. We don't spam any of that. We just want to make sure that you're connected and equipped to win at life and to stay filled with God's righteousness. Amen. Well, I hope that that you enjoyed service today, man. Mother's Day. This has been such a beautiful Mother's Day. I got all these gorgeous flowers. My baby girl and my husband just, you know, they're so sweet. They know how much I love flowers, and they just covered the whole house with flowers. And I hope that you too feel special today. All the moms out there on your special day. Man, if this message resonated with you and you think maybe you know somebody that it could help, why don't you go ahead and share it? Share it with somebody else. Don't keep that goodness for yourself. You got to share some of that food that you just got. But I just want to pray with you before we leave. Why don't you reach? I'm just going to bless you. This is a blessing from the cool mama, cool church mom. Father God, I thank you for all of your kids out there, God. All of my family out there, Lord. I pray that you bless them. Wherever they are, wherever they go, wherever they're moving towards, Lord, I pray that you continue to protect them, Lord. Help them to have the best week ever, God. Let them realize that they don't have to go around hangry and looking for things to fill themselves up, Lord. Let them know that they don't need to look further than you, God, because you've got everything that they need for them to stay filled with the right stuff, Lord Jesus. I pray that you bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll see you next week, family.
Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends, because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.
Peace.